This is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So a little bit later this afternoon, Ursula and Jennings and Nicole and I, we're going to go see this refurbished Space Needle.
I'm really excited.
I am too. I'm going to see who's held up better.
You or the Space Needle.
In 56 years. Yeah, but it's had work done.
Yeah, there's been a major facelift.
I know. I'm still thinking about that. I need to do something.
What's stopping you?
I don't know.
Why do you feel like you need to do something?
I got these big bags under my eyes.
Okay. I asked a dermatologist about that.
Yeah.
Surgery.
You have to have surgery? You can't just inject that Botox stuff?
I don't think Botox works so well for that. Mm. Works well for wrinkles.
I don't want surgery. See, I don't have wrinkles.
I do.
No, you're good. Yeah, but for 56, I'm pretty wrinkle-free, aren't I?
And you know what I keep saying? We are so lucky that we've gotten to the ages that we are. That's what I say.
Absolutely.
So let's just embrace those darn wrinkles.
Absolutely.
And bags under the eyes.
My wife doesn't have any wrinkles. We're wrinkle-free.
Nice.
We're a wrinkle-free family. Yeah. I hope my girls inherit that. Okay, I got to get to all of this news here. I can't tarry too long. So Oprah bought a 43-acre estate up on Orcas Island, reportedly. And I've been hearing unofficially through like a friend of a friend of a friend that she got it because she wanted to listen to our show every day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that's another name that Nicole needs to add to the list.
It was very odd because she just 2 days ago, or yesterday, it was just yesterday, Nicole was saying that she wanted to get Oprah booked on the show because we've had Trump, we've had Howard Schultz, who's going to run for the Democratic nomination, reportedly. We've had Inslee, mm-hmm. who desperately wants to be the president. And then there are all these rumors about Oprah.
Yes.
Well, I said Ursula had left the room yesterday, but she bet me $5 Oprah would run. And I took that bet.
Yep.
You think Oprah's going to win? Run?
Sure, why not? I think there's going to be a groundswell. I know she'd be crazy, too, because
she'd be insane.
Why does she need to?
Well, she has a life. She has like a dream life.
That's what I said. Why would you do that to yourself?
But what else? What else can she do? I mean, she has more money than
anything
she can shake and stick
everything
at.
Spend it on cool houses like Orcas
Island.
Yeah,
but she can only. I mean, she has an amazing property in Hawaii, or properties probably now Orcas Island. She's got property everywhere. How much can you buy?
Yeah, but I just told you why she bought on Orcas.
To listen to the show.
She wants to listen to the show.
Certainly.
She's president. She's going to have all these meetings, and she wouldn't be able to listen to the show. And
people ask the same thing. Why would Donald Trump do it? Why?
Well, that's an ego thing, but I don't think Oprah...
Trump did it because he wanted to make America great again.
Uh-huh.
And by the way,
he wanted credit for making
succeeding
America
wildly. You know, you notice that whole thing. So Howard Schultz yesterday. Where's that Howard Schultz? You have that Howard Schultz story?
It's in that pile.
Is it in my stack?
No, over here.
Well, what are you looking for, though? Because I have it here.
No, I got it. Anyway, okay, so Howard Schultz, when he was asked by the New York Times, why would he run for president? He said because he is very concerned about the state of the nation. You have the quote.
Yes. Okay, so hang on.
I've got lots of things that I'm thinking about. I'm writing a book. It's only been 24 hours. But we've talked many times about how concerned I am about the country, our standing in the world. And I think there's many things I can do as a private citizen to advance the cause of the promise of the country.
Fake news! It's fake news!
Why?
What's he concerned about? The state of the country. Our economy's doing fantastic. Stock market's doing great. We have 3.8% unemployment. We finally are finally are lifting up the minority communities. Black unemployment, all-time low. Hispanic unemployment, all-time low. finally, the rising tide is indeed lifting all ships. We're doing great.
And certainly some numbers are vastly improved. However, for people like Howard Schultz or Oprah, they feel like there is more divisiveness in this country.
And whose fault is that?
Than ever before. Well, a lot of
people. Whose fault is that? The people who are screaming about Trump every day and refuse to acknowledge the fact that the economy's doing great. And they says, I'm worried about our standing in the world. Well, he got us out of that bogus Paris Climate Accord that was going to cost us trillions of dollars.
And not everyone feels the way you do, Dory, about that.
Korea,
they think that is a disaster and as a disaster waiting for the environment.
We might be a week away from the beginning of the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. And I remember about 2 weeks ago, every fake news show, including a lot of radio shows, where Trump pulled out of the North Korea summit and they went on and on and on, not realizing that maybe he outplayed and outgambited the goofy dictator there.
I think he's getting a lot of credit for that.
So,
when he pulled out, he did pull out. And now when it looked like something was going to happen again, that was being reported.
But Schultz is so concerned with the country and with our standing in the world. And all I'm saying is, it looks like we're making some great headway in areas that seemed impossible in the world, in the country, the economy and safety. ISIS has been rolled back. Their footprint has been rolled way back. And I know that nobody hears any of that stuff.
That's not true. I think
91%. 91% of the news coverage about Trump is negative.
Yeah, I'm not talking about everything about Trump. I'm just talking about how people generally feel about life in the U.S., whether it's better or whether it's worse, how they feel.
And why, if everybody's working and they finally have some control over their life?
I don't think everybody's working.
More blacks are working than ever before. More Hispanics are working than ever before. Communities that felt so desperate. And I tell you what, Barack Obama didn't do anything economically for those. I mean, the only bad news we have, what was that news we had about insurance rates, Obamacare insurance rates yesterday?
Going up by, on average, 19%.
19%. The only real horrible economic news that we've had in the last 24 hours is the remnant of what Barack Obama lied about to get pushed through in this country. And yet that doesn't get talked about. It doesn't get talked about that's the worst economic news is the remnant of Obama and everything Trump is doing, from the deregulation to the tax cuts, seems to be helping people tremendously.
Oh, the other bad news, economically speaking, I handed you that headline. It's actually not that funny, but it's not funny at all. Medicare is going to become insolvent in 2026, 3 years earlier than previously forecast.
That is something I have been talking about for 20 years.
Mm-hmm,
the fact that every single president and Congress has kicked the can and said, well, if we try to reform this, if we try to make economic sense out of this, then our opponents in our next election are going to say, he hates old people. And so we're just going to wait. Well, the day of reckoning has arrived. And until we start getting our arms around, and the biggest criticism I have of Trump economically is he still hasn't made any big moves to reduce the nation's debt. And until we start paying down the $22 trillion, and when you put in the stuff like Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security is going to go insolvent, we have about $60 trillion in unfunded liabilities, and that's going to crush us. That will crush our nation, and I hope Trump in his second term can start dealing with that.
But do you blame someone like Howard Schultz or an Oprah Winfrey for running? I know you have absolutely no desire to run for public office. And
correct,
you said that repeatedly, yes, even though everywhere I go, people say, why don't you tell Dory to run for whatever?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
In all seriousness.
Yeah.
Would you vote for me?
I actually probably would.
Probably.
I would vote for you.
Would you?
Yeah, depending on what position, not just purely out of friendship.
Well, no, I wouldn't.
No, I would have to know exactly what you stand for.
You know exactly what I stand
for
on certain
everything. Things. I need to kind
you
of consider.
You probably know my positions on
You're trying
everything
to corner me.
Better than anybody in the world.
That's true.
Yeah.
On many things, believe it or not, you and I agree. On some things, we very much disagree.
Passionately disagree.
Yes. So there's a chance I would, chance I'd vote for you. I think of you as one of the most decent people I know. So, I mean, just purely on that alone.
Yeah. Okay.
So you know what people
Would you vote for me?
It depends on who you're running against.
There you go. So we got to qualify.
Honestly, probably not. No, I've told you many times, I'll never lie on the air, just
exactly.
for expediency.
Exactly.
No, I think I would disagree with you on issues sufficiently that even though...
But you can't peg me on... I don't go down the line on it. It really is issue by issue, person by person.
I totally agree. I didn't live in his district, but Tony Ventrella is one of my closest friends when he ran for Congress. And I didn't live in his district. I don't know that I would have voted for Tom. We disagree on so many things. But some of my closest friends in the world are people, because I don't talk politics off the air.
Yeah.
So I just...
I mean, in all honesty, I think most of my friends voted differently from me.
I just judge people truly on the content of their character. And if they're fun to be with and all of that stuff. So
the original story was about Oprah moving to Orcus.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, or a few people at least, are suggesting that, you know, both of the Inslee and Schultz candidates live in the area. So maybe she would just join them as a running mate.
There you go.
To this area for that reason.
Now, what do you think of a Howard Schultz-Oprah ticket? Oprah being the top of the ticket. There you go.
Oprah being the top?
Yes.
I don't know.
I just don't think she wants the job. I think it's a lot easier to be vice pres.
I don't think she wants. They'd be foolish to take that job. They'd be idiot. The thing is, with Trump, it's so obvious that he has this, you know, this pathological need for ego.
Yeah, but I know.
I don't know that they are driven by that. They can have.
They're not driven by ego, but they're driven by other things. And I don't know why you don't allow for that possibility.
Because I think that everybody who gets into politics, no matter how well intentioned at the beginning, turns into a corrupted individual.
I refuse to believe that.
Okay, I just don't want to see my Oprah corrupted.
I think I should get a kayak and, you know, get lost out there. I got to get you an interview.
Oh, man. Okay. Next up. How much time do we have?
I know. You thought that five stories was not going to be enough for the best 15. So far, we've got to one and we got four minutes left.
What about this Kate Spade thing? So Kate Spade, one of the most well-known, did she just...
Designer.
Handbags, or did she do clothes too?
She does.
Oh yeah, she
wallets,
does
shoes.
She does scarves.
I've spent a fortune on Kate Spade stuff because my wife and I think at least one of my daughters has really wanted that for Christmas or birthdays in the past. Very pricey stuff.
I have a wallet and I had a phone case.
My wife had a Kate Spade phone case. So,
I know, because you shamed me on how much I spent on it.
On yours?
Yes.
Why did I shame you?
Because you asked me how much it was, and then shame me for spending that on a case.
How much was it?
$50.
Shame on you.
She has beautiful designs, super wildly popular.
But do we have any idea what's going on?
She died by suicide.
Do we have any idea?
Well, clearly, she was severely depressed.
But did people know that?
But that is the thing about depression and mental illness, and we just talked about this last week. She was rich beyond rich.
Oh, yeah. It came out of the blue very much like Robin Williams, and which makes me wonder. I mean, there were so many similarities. She apparently did hang herself from a doorknob with a scarf. That's how she you'll
yeah, and she
kill
left
yourself.
She left behind a suicide note. She, you know, has a young daughter, a teenage daughter.
Does she really?
Yeah. Oh,
just, oh
I'm
my
just
lord!
Devastated.
Well, and because Robin Williams, he hung himself from a doorknob, and there are so many similarities. I was wondering if we're going to find out other similarities, like Robin Williams had the Parkinson's or something like Parkinson's.
I have not heard of any sort of other illness other than you know,
mental illness.
Mental illness,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that was a shocking bit of news there this afternoon. Next up in the Fastest 15, now I'm against this. I am not a misogynist. I am all about women's rights and empowering women and helping to develop a generation of strong young women. And I feel very comfortable that I've had a decent impact as a coach in that regard.
Absolutely.
But Miss America should not be getting rid of the swimsuit part of the competition.
And why?
Because what else is anybody going to watch?
Are you kidding me?
No.
Dory, you just took us back a few decades. That's ridiculous.
Oh, so?
Oh, come on.
We're going to watch for the Q&A.
Well, will say that I think that there's something to the women presenting themselves in a certain way, or the way you present yourself can be looked at as, you know, great or whatever, like in the evening gown
healthy,
competition.
Athletic.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's talent to that, and so I like learning how to walk, learning how
oh,
to.
Oh, you're saying that they
just
should
in the way
stay
they present
with
themselves
the, with the bathing suits or bikinis.
Well, yeah. I'm saying you yeah. if you look at it in a way that it's yeah. still part of it, it's a talent to be able to present yourself in that way.
Yeah, the viewership is already down to next to nothing, but that's supposed to be a scholarship
mm-hmm.
competition.
Yeah,
I mean it's supposed to be for. Your brains, mm-hmm. your yeah, you're just smirking
well. That's what
over
it's
there.
Supposed to be, yeah, but, these days. Yeah. But it wasn't always supposed to be that.
No. Mean, actually,
well,
it was because Miss
that's
America is different from Miss USA. Miss USA is still there, and you got all the bikinis that you want. I think they're even skimpier than ever.
The
but
fact
be
of
next.
The matter is, the Miss Americas have been incredibly accomplished women,
absolutely
for decades and decades.
Absolutely,
but there's nothing wrong. With being incredibly accomplished and looking great in a bikini.
And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, let's get rid of that part. And since it wasn't the most important part of Miss America anyway, Miss USA is going to continue.
And Miss Teen USA, they're still going to continue as well.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Still
and
one
you're
of
trying
the greatest
to tell me that you'd
bites.
Rather have bronze than beauty?
Bronze?
We just still want content like that.
That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Dave Wyman pops by for a visit every Tuesday. And so, we'll visit with Dave coming up next on the Dory Monson Show.
Oh.
In the shuffling madness.
No. It's a weird name, and it's... Oh, this is killing me. Ursula, you know, don't you? I see you over there.
No.
You
I'm just
know?
Cracking up at how
on.
Dory was looking at your
on.
Face,
don't
hoping you'd
me.
Give away the answer.
Don't give us any clues, even, Sean.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, man. Jethro Tull.
Yes!
Oh.
Good job.
Russ Simber would have got this.
Yeah, we tried to recruit our friend Russ Simber to play Name That Artist with us today, but
yeah.
He wouldn't come in. I had Ian Anderson on my show a few months ago.
Jethro Tull guy, I take it?
Yeah, he's the guy, the lead singer.
That's him?
Yeah, but so you'd think I would have an edge. since I just had him on the show.
You know, I ran into a guy the other day on Saturday, and I couldn't place his name, and I introduced him to a buddy of mine as someone else. And that someone else, I texted and said, hey, good to see you this weekend. And he texted back, when did I see you?
And you sound now, like Dory.
Yeah.
And now
I do stuff like that all the time.
It's driving me nuts where I know him from, and I feel so terrible about it, and I still can't get it.
So you don't know?
I don't know who
the person was?
He's from, and I'm thinking, like, the kid's school. Did we coach together? We had kids together. And
Dave, that is every day of my life, what you just described.
Yeah. You know who I introduced him as is Bob Sikma. You know who Bob Sikma is?
No.
Yeah.
Jack Sikma.
Yeah. Well, Jack Sikma is Bob Sikma's brother. So, and that's how we say it. Like, yeah, Jack's my brother, not, you know, I'm not Jack's brother.
You've lost
so anyway,
me.
I lost my mind, and I couldn't remember who it was. Anyway, that's what I was going through there with Jethro Tull. I'm like, I know this. Don't you hate that?
Oh.
Is it the concussion thing, or is it the
that's
getting
old? That's
what
I'm afraid of. I'm afraid, well, with me, it's getting old.
Do you think you've had too many concussion stories?
It's the concussions.
Well, when you said you worry about it, you're worried about me.
Yeah.
That concerns me.
Yeah.
Well, why? What am I? Well, am I stupid?
No, but you took a couple blows to the noggin.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a concern.
I'm worried about that. Have you ever been to a cockfight?
Play some music.
No,
I have not.
Well, they busted a big cockfighting ring last night.
Where?
Up in, I think it was Skagit County.
You're
kidding.
Skagit
County?
No. Well,
yeah, they had a big, I've got the story right here, Dave Wyman.
Pretty sure it wasn't in Seattle.
Port Orchard. It was Port Orchard.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So do they put razor blades on the feet of
those? I know that they do in the third world countries that do that.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. First of all, Channel 7, our news partners, they talked with a guy named Harry Mertel, who watched the raid go down.
And he said, well, they were raiding a cockfight back there. I knew he raised fighting cocks, but he shipped them overseas. Or at least I thought he was doing that.
Now, does that make it better if they're shipping them overseas?
I don't know. If I ever had a cock that I would fight, I would call it Little Dory. Don't you remember Little Jerry from Seinfeld?
What's the matter with you?
Kramer named the rooster.
What I found disturbing was
Little Cherry.
You giggled at your own joke before I had a chance.
It was not a joke. It was not a joke. I would name him Little Dory.
He was very happy that they got busted.
All that's gone. I don't believe in that. To me, that's cruelty to animals.
And you know who the agency? Guess which agency would be in charge of busting the cockfighting ring?
ATF?
No, you would think that, although there are no alcohol, tobacco, or firearms involved generally.
Oh, I guarantee you, all three of those things were there at the cockfight. I guarantee you.
No, it's the Washington State Gambling Commission, and here's their spokesperson, Heather Songer.
This is a pretty large operation. We don't necessarily come across the fighting rings a whole lot in our area.
And she says that she'd, this is a neighbor, wishes they'd busted the ring sooner.
I don't know why they didn't do something about it a lot sooner, because we've known about it for a long, long time. At night, a lot of times we saw lights and everything. I just don't like the neighborhood filling up.
That's a good
I'm an old cowgirl, and I like out in the country.
Seattle has really become just an awesome city. We got hockey coming here. We're going to be a four sport, and now we have cockfighting.
Right.
Yeah, who knew? I mean, what's next?
When I was growing up in Ballard, you know what's next? And if you and I had half a brain between the two of us combined, we would pool our money, and we would open a Hi-Li Fronton.
Oh, yeah.
I am telling you, Dave.
I remember Hi-Li. They used to have it at the MGM Grand in Reno.
Yes, exactly right.
Did you go down there?
I've saw it at the MGM Grand. I've also seen it in Tampa when I went down to cover the Super Bowl between the Bills and the New York Giants. I dragged my colleagues to the Tampa Fronton. And, get this. You like this. My wife and I got, when we got married, so we're just kids. We're 25 years old. We get married. We were going to do our big honeymoon in the fall, but we got married in June. And so, in fact, we're coming up, we're a week away, Dave, from our 31st anniversary.
No way. Look at you. Congratulations.
So we thought, well, let's just get away for two days, 3 days. So right after the wedding, we go to a motel at SeaTac Saturday night, get up Sunday morning, fly down to L.A., go to Disneyland for a day or two, and then we go to San Diego. And I tell my wife, honey, we got to go to Tijuana and see the Hi-Li.
They have that in Tijuana?
And she did it.
Wow.
She went with me on our honeymoon to see Hi-Li in Tijuana.
She is a champ.
What a woman.
She is a champ. Well, that is a sport that's rife with tampering, right?
Well,
I mean, come on. I remember seeing it Reno. And watching it, and I think my mom and dad maybe put a dollar. It was just an entertainment thing because we were from the tiny town, and all of a sudden we're in the big city. And
sure.
But you'd see a guy who was just kicking butt, and all of a sudden, oops, he would just drop the ball.
It's not a ball, Dave.
It's called a pelota.
Pelota, very good.
Yeah, is it made out of goat skin or something like that?
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But my oldest daughter loves animals. She loves animals. She spent two 10-week stints in the Dominican Republic, and she went because she felt like she wanted to embrace all of the culture. She went and watched cockfighting in the DR, and she said that it was like right out of Central Casting. Big, fat guy sitting in the front row with fistful of money, of cash, and people are coming up making bets with him.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's... Yeah, that's the other thing we should do. We should go down to the DR and just spend a weekend, watch some cockfighting.
Yeah, that'll be an easy sell to the wife. Guess what we're doing? We haven't been on vacation in a couple years.
Well, I was thinking just a guy's weekend, but let's bring the wives.
No, I don't think so. That's a guy's trip right there.
Okay.
Alan Parsons.
Project.
Oh, that was... I'm going to have to go back and listen to that tape to see who got it first.
Really close.
I would say Dory.
Sure.
I'm sorry, Dave. I really wanted to be on your side.
I would say Dave. So I guess we have to listen to the tape.
There you go. We'll
Thank you, Sean.
Back.
Okay, so we'll check the tape right after the break. Okay, so we have other stuff to talk about, believe it or not. Dave Wyman is with us, and we have much more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Of chances before, but I ain't gonna give any more. Don't ask me, that's how it goes. 'Cause part of me knows what you're thinking.
Once upon a time,
Moody Blues.
Yes.
And I have the final results from the last guess.
Ooh. Okay, so wait, no, you got Ian Anderson.
I got Jethro Tull.
So
this one.
You were up 2-0, and then there was tremendous controversy as we were going to break.
What's the band that I just guessed?
The Moody Blues.
Oh, Moody Blues.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was getting them mixed up because I think of Moody Blues and Jethro Tull's the same.
Okay, but now the one where we had to go to the audio tape to see who got the one going into break.
Yeah, now this
can you
is
play this for us?
Really close. Here we go.
Alan Parsons Project.
Alan Parsons Project.
I'm calling it a tie.
That's a tie.
I say project.
It's a dead heat, but I'm going to give it to Dory because he said project. Oh, I'm not giving it to you. I think you earned it.
But Dave, you just didn't quite get there quick enough. It's fine. You said it.
All right, Sean's on my side.
Can we hear one? Can you slow it down? Is there any way to play it?
You know what we need? We need a czar. Yeah. Who's the czar of Name That Tune? And name the artist.
Yeah.
I think it should be Sean.
Okay. This is the first little...
Alan. That's a tough
one. Wow, that is. It's a dead heat.
Yeah. Dead heat.
Yeah. Both horses get paid.
That heat is dead.
Okay. A couple of other things. So Brock came on my show yesterday. You know, he does the morning show over there on that sports station.
Heard it.
So he was obsessed. And you understand that during the football season, I am fully immersed in the Seahawks because of my work on the pre and post game show. the rest of the year, I can't be quite as fully immersed because I get this show, I got mm-hmm. other stuff going on, and I have to kind of compartmentalize. So I was not aware of this whole Russell Wilson alter ego thing. Are we okay with this? Do you know about this?
Is it Mr. Ultimate or?
Yeah, Unlimited.
Unlimited. Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, so this was the clip, and I hadn't heard either of these until Brock introduced them to me yesterday, but this was a couple of weeks ago where Russell explained his alter ego.
Hey, guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you gotta be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Go-to person for advice, Russell.
They think Pete Carroll. They think this person. Think that person. Love you, Pete. But it's Mr. Unlimited. Tom.
Well, I love him. He's a dork, right? He is. And when he was explaining it, he was kind of getting excited about it and funny and everything. He's just kind of goofy. I like those kind of quirky, dorky people.
Do you?
He's a stud on the field,
man. Of course
he is. He's going to be so much better. And I just think this is, of all the things that he's done, and I know he gets criticized of, you know, eat the ball and some of these things that he's done as far as, remember the eat the ball that was the football-shaped bread? Yeah, it was like one of his big investments. Then he had Good Man brand clothing. And, you know, and everybody's always squawking about Russell Wilson. But I like the strange, kind of quirky, dorky guys.
Okay. Yeah. Like Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, I don't really like it, but I think it's funny that he thinks it's funny.
Yeah, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And Brock asked me yesterday if I had an alter ego. Do you? Do you have an alter ego?
No.
That you turn to in times of crisis?
I do worry about that. I've told you the purse snatching story. Cyndi Lauper.
Nice.
Wow.
I'm on it today, man.
You're just on fire.
Can't believe it.
You are on fire. Yeah, we're going to have to wait on the purse snatching story.
Tell that story next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did not snatch a purse, by the way.
Right.
I did run a guy down.
No, I've heard it's a great story. I love the story. Okay, you can hear Dave Wyman every afternoon, 3 to 7 on 710 ESPN Seattle. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
This was one of your better visits, I thought.
Thanks. Name that artist czar, Sean DeTore.
No problem.
Big lead of twos coming up next. You picture me. I'm walking to